I'm Callie Crossley, and this is Boston Public Radio. Today, as part of our 30 issues in 30 days election coverage, we are turning the spotlight on public utilities. Now, you might remember it was nearly a year ago that a surprise Halloween snowstorm knocked out power to thousands of Bay State residents, some for almost two full weeks. WGBH reporter Ann Mostu has been reporting on this, and it uncovered that not all towns are equal when it comes to how they get their power. Welcome, Ann Mostu.
Thanks, Callie. Thanks for having me.
So why are not all towns equal when it comes to how they get their power?
Well, there are basically two kinds of towns in Massachusetts. There are ones where residents pay NSTAR, a national grid, or some other utility to get them their power. And then there are towns where the town itself distributes the power and owns the lines and things like that and all the equipment. And there's sort of two reasons it's interesting and relevant now during election season. One is that it's become a topic of interest in towns like Natick as they're voting for selectmen. It's been a topic before the Cambridge City Council. And it's almost storm season. And as we noticed last year, we all lost power, or many of us lost power on Halloween. So people are starting to talk about what's going to happen this year, what kind of storms are we waiting for.
So why doesn't everybody, every town that wants to have its own, you know, utility have it?
Because of a state law that's almost 100 years old. And there are right now 41 towns that own their own electric company. I went to Mansfield, that's one town, and interviewed the director of the municipal electric department there. But there are a number of towns, I mean, from Holyoke to Concord, Belmont, Wellesley, that own their own and have had their own power distribution for almost 100 years in most cases because they incorporated it before the state law was enacted. And essentially, the state law says that these utility companies have veto power over selling their equipment to towns. So when a town says, hey, we'd like to start our own utility and we'd like to buy all your lines, the utility company can simply say no. And one resident I spoke to in Lexington talked about wanting to start his own town's utility. His name's Patrick Mayer. He's probably the most vocal state resident on this topic. And he's an NSTAR customer, a management consultant who once worked for a national utility regulator in France. And this is what he had to say about what he noticed when he first moved to Lexington.
Basically, since the day I moved here, I noticed that we had overhead wires and couldn't understand why in a historic town like Lexington we would have poles and wires and transformers and all sorts of equipment that mar the landscape. And so I started looking into what would be needed to move the wires underground and discovered that one of the most active communities nationwide in the United States doing this is Concord, Massachusetts. And when I further investigated, asking how come you guys do it, the answer was because we have our own municipal utility and we have our own priorities, and none of this happens when NSTAR is your distribution company.
Well, so if there's a law and it says that the utility companies can say no, Patrick's just out of luck, right? It's never happening.
Well,
right?
At the moment, yes. At the moment, yes. I mean, Patrick has been asking his state representative, Jay Kaufman, who's a Democrat in Lexington, to file a bill, and that's been filed several times over the course of the last 10, 15 years, and it's never been passed. But the effort is to essentially change the process by which a city or town would acquire from the utility the lines and the infrastructure, and then change the review process for permitting and the economic requirements of starting a municipal electric company. So one person I obviously interviewed was the Democratic State Representative Jay Kaufman, who's filed this bill. And he says it's pretty unclear how interested town officials are about starting municipal electric companies. There can be movement from residents. It's just hard to tell how much interest is coming from the town officials.
Public interest has remained fairly strong, but the official interest, that is the interest on the part of town officials, has been decreasing significantly. The town manager is not particularly interested. The current DPW head is not particularly interested. As I understand it, their concerns are that the purchase price would be so high that it's very questionable how quickly we would get a return on our investments. And they have become more sensitive to and nervous about what it takes to manage a utility of this sort.
Well, these are all fine points. And it was, I mean, it's a huge undertaking, it would seem to me, just to build a municipal company. So
absolutely.
When you hear him say that, how do you build political will to support allowing some of these cities and towns to have their own if they decide to be interested in doing so?
I think it really will come down to how interested the residents are themselves. And then they'll have to somehow put together the money to have consultants put together a price package of what it would, what kind of cost and time it would take to start one. But it, there is quite a bit of interest, and especially after there's a storm. I mean, that's sort of when the tide rises for this effort, because people get so frustrated. And I did talk to...
Well, that's when it's clear that there's an advantage to having your own then, or it was clear, at least after some of the most recent storms last year.
That's exactly right. I mean, there are basically three advantages to a municipal electric company. One is that it saves residential customers money because their rates are about 10% lower than what they would be with a regular utility. They offer better electric service in general with more reliability, and they respond to local priorities fairly quickly. I spoke with Gary Babin, who's the director of Mansfield Municipal Electric Department, and he didn't want to disparage large utilities. I mean, the goal of this story wasn't to attack NSTAR National Grid, but he pointed out that it helps to have his team of line workers out patrolling on a daily basis.
Folks that work on the lines, they're on call, and when you live in town, your ability to respond directly to a problem is pretty immediate.
So, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me, but is it more expensive to have your own?
It's not, in the end. I mean, if you look at the salaries of what the top people at NSTAR National Grid are making, that's not at all what someone like Gary Babin is earning. There are people making upwards of $9 million at utility companies. So there's just not much of a comparison. The really striking difference to me is when you drive around a town like Mansfield, you see these utility trucks out patrolling, sort of like you'd see a police car or a fire truck in any other town. And they have the town's name on them, and they are line workers, and the neighbors know them, and everybody's very friendly. And so when you have a huge storm, I've always wondered this as a reporter, when there's a huge storm and National Grid or any utility company says, we've got crews coming in from Michigan and we're flying people from Wisconsin to help, I always think, well, do those people know the streets of Boston or whatever town they're going to? And in many cases, they don't. And so they hit the ground ready to work, but they need a lot of direction. Whereas somebody in Mansfield, there are 22 employees working for the city, patrolling and maintaining the lines all the time. And
they know it.
They know the city really well, and many of them are residents, so they have even more incentive. You know, they have their own lines and their own power to maintain.
I had never heard of this, you know, privately owned utilities until living in Massachusetts. Is this, you know, and certainly not a mix of private and then larger corporations. Is this common across the country, or is Massachusetts once again unique?
No, it is common across the country, although I will admit I didn't do a lot of research into what individual states do. I know the city of Los Angeles maintains its own power supply. It's been interesting to me to see sort of which towns do and which towns don't, and the city of Boston is heavily reliant on NSTAR, as we saw with that outage last year. But it varies all over the place.
And it's just not something that I don't think that every day we're thinking about until that storm hits.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And it's the other thing that I think is really interesting is, and that Patrick pointed out, Patrick, mayor of Lexington, is that there isn't much movement toward putting lines underground. Mm. And I've previously lived in Springfield, Mass., where almost all of my neighborhood lines were underground, and it was fantastic. I never had an outage, so...
Yeah, I think that aesthetically, that makes a huge difference.
It sure does.
All right. Well, Ann Mastu, thank you so much.
Thank you, Callie.
We've been talking public utilities with WGBH's Ann Mastu. And you can hear Ann's report later today in the 5 o'clock hour on WGBH's All Things Considered. In fact, you can see our take on all the issues we've investigated so far in the WGBH 30 Issues and 30 Days election coverage, from health care to national security to medical marijuana. Look at it on our website, wgbhnews.org. And that's going to do it for Boston Public Radio today. The conversation continues 24 hours a day on our Facebook page. I hope you will connect with us there. We'll be back tomorrow from noon to 2. We'll, of course, have analysis on tonight's big debate, and we'll talk with British actress Professor, best known as Professor Sprout from the Harry Potter films, about our one-woman show, Dickens Women. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH. I'm Callie Crossley. Have a great afternoon.